going back a little bit last time. During adoration, I felt God close to me. A moment later, I saw Jesus and Mary. The sight of them was filled with joy, and I asked the Lord, "What is your will, Jesus, concerning the matter about which my confessor told me to ask you about the divine mercy?" Jesus replied, "It is my will that he should remain here," confessor, Sopoko, "and that he should not take the initiative of dispensing himself." He won't go away. I asked Jesus whether the inscription could be "Christ, King of Mercy." He answered, "I am King of Mercy." But he did not say Christ. I decided that this image be displayed in public on the first Sunday after Easter. That Sunday is the Feast of Mercy. Through the Word incarnate, I make known the bottomless depth of my mercy. Strangely, all things came about just as the Lord had requested. In fact, it was on the first Sunday after Easter, April 1935, that the image was publicly honored by crowds of people for the first time. For 3 days, it was exposed and received public veneration, since it was placed at the very top of a window at Obstra Brahma. It could be seen from a great distance. At Obstra Brahma, during these 3 days, the closing of the Jubilee of the Redemption of the World was being celebrated, marking the 1900 years that have passed since the Passion of our Lord. I see how then the work of redemption is bound up with the work of mercy requested by the Lord. One day, I saw in theory how much my confessor would have to suffer. Friends would desert you, while everyone will rise up against you, and your physical strength will diminish. I saw you as a bunch of grapes chosen by the Lord and thrown into the press for suffering. Your soul, Father, will at times be filled with doubts about this work and about me. A dialogue with the confessor. I saw that God himself seemed to be opposing him, the Father. And I asked the Lord why he was acting in this way, the Lord, toward him, the priest. As though he were placing obstacles in the way of his doing what he himself had asked him to do. So the Lord asked him to do many things, but so much sufferings. As if no human answering. If you ask him to do something, you should help him, no? But no, it's more opposite. Things going happen. So he said, "How can you ask him to do this? And so many things opposing." And the Lord said, "I am acting thus with him to give testimony that this work is mine." But because Father Sopoko is proud, he's powerful, he's full of wisdom and do all things by human way. No, it's not his way. "Tell him not to fear anything. My gaze is on him day and night. There will be as many crowns to form his crown as there will be souls saved by this work." So much suffering, so much salvation. you have to pay off. It's not for the success of a work, but for suffering that I give reward. So even we watch the figure of the Divine Mercy, at the back there are so many souls are suffering for this purpose, especially for Sister Faustina is suffering, so the people can say, of course, seeing Jesus, but we need the grace to look at it, to trust. So Jesus need our help. So when we say we adore, we venerate the Divine Mercy, that means to say we have to live this Divine Mercy. You have to live like Jesus. At times, oh, we are safe. You can see the picture of Divine Mercy that I'm okay. Yeah, you're okay, but not that kind of okay. It doesn't mean you dispense from suffering. You're more one with Him. You suffer together with Him. Isn't it? Oh my Jesus, you alone know that the what persecution I suffer. And this only because I'm being faithful to you and following your orders. You know, the more you trust, the more you suffer. You are my strength, sustain me that I may always carry out what you ask of me. Of myself, I can do nothing. But when you sustain me, all difficulties are nothing for me. Oh my Lord, I can see very well that from the time when my soul first received the capacity to know you, my life has been a continual struggle which has become increasingly intense. So the time when you start to follow Jesus to Calvary is not just normal walk. You have the crosses on the shoulder. Every morning during meditation, I prepare myself for the whole day's struggle. She knows that outside the chapel, things come. Holy Communion assures me that I will win the victory. Win means you have to fight first. So it is. I feel the day when I do not receive Holy Communion. So then she got low strength at all. She's afraid. The bread of the strong gives me all the strength I need to carry on a mission and the courage to do whatever the Lord asks of me. So important, closeness with the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus in the Eucharist, with her, it's the only means of getting the strength to continue to spread the good news. The courage and strength that are in me, a lot of me, but of Him who lives in me, it is the Eucharist. You see, we should develop this love for Jesus in the Eucharist. So thank you, you come today, even we don't have exposure the whole night, still you come. Thank you. Oh my Jesus, the misunderstandings are so great. Sometimes wait not for the second Eucharist, I would not have the courage to go any further along the way you have marked out for me. So still linked to the Eucharist. Humiliation is my daily food. Understand that the bride must herself share in everything that is the groom's. And so his cloak of mockery must cover me. Two. At those times when I suffer much, I try to remain silent, as I do not trust my tongue, which, at such moments, is inclined to talk for itself. But its duty is to tell me praise God for all the blessings and gifts which He has given me. At times when we are suffering, we are able to share a little bit or fight back or something. And He said to use my tongue. Our tongue is only to praise, not to be gossips, or to justify yourselves. You close your mouth shut. this is how today I first understand for the Divine Mercy. It's if it's a big grapes, big lights, it's true. But you have to carry your little cross with him. Yeah. When I received Jesus in the Holy Communion, I asked him frequently to die, to heal my tongue so that I would offend neither God nor our neighbor. And so much our tongue. I want my tongue to praise God without cease. Great are the faults committed by the tongue, great are the faults committed by the tongue. The soul will not attain sanity if it does not keep watch over its tongue. It's interesting, huh? If the tongue, we cannot be silent. If we want to be silent, keep your mouth shut. Only praising God. It's not easy. Eh? We want to have justice, justification. If you're not attacking, at least self-supporting. A short version of Catechism of the Vows. What is a vow? A vow is a voluntary promise made to God to carry out a more perfect act. Is a vow binding in a matter which is the object of a commandment? Yes. The carrying out of an act which is the object of a commandment has a double value and merit. The neglect of such an act is a double transgression and evil. Because for breaking such a vow, we add to the sin against the commandment, the sin of sacrilege. Because once you are consecrated to the Lord and you sin against it, not only sin against the commandment, sin against your promise. Because you are consecrated to the Lord. Why do religious vows have such value? Because they are the foundation of the religious life approved by the Church, in which the members bound together in religious community undertake to strive like always for perfection by means of the three religious vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, observed according to the rules. What's the meaning of the words strive for perfection? To strive for perfection means that the religious life does not in itself demand that perfection be already attained, but obliges under the pain of sin that we work daily to attain it. Because the religious who does not want to become perfect neglects his principal duty of state. To be perfect, you're kind. More kind. Not good. Better. But just, I'm a good nun. I'm a good priest. It's not enough. What are solemn religious vows? Solemn religious vows are so absolute that in extraordinary cases only the Holy Father can dispense from them. What are the simple religious vows? These are vows which are less absolute. The Holy See dispense from perpetual and annual vows. The solemn one, only the Holy Father, only the Pope can. The rest, his Holy See means his helpers can do it. What's the difference between a vow and a virtue? A vow pertains only to that which is commanded under the pain of sin. The virtue thus goes beyond this and helps in the carrying out of the vows. On the other hand, by breaking the vow, we fail in the virtue and do it damage. So many times people doesn't want to take vows because double obligation. The religious vows oblige us to strive to acquire the virtues and to submit ourselves completely to our superiors and to the rules which are enforced. Thus the religious gives his own person to the community, renouncing every right over himself and his actions, which he sacrifices to the service of God. The world of poverty. The world of poverty is a voluntary renunciation of the right over property or to the use of such property with the purpose of pleasing God. What objects does wealth of poverty concern? All those goods and those objects which pertain to the community. We have no longer any rights over anything that has been given to us once it has been accepted. What an article of money. All these donations and presents which may have been given us out of gratitude or in any other way, you know, by right to the community. We cannot make use without violating the vow of any wages we may receive for work, even any annuity, tips also, everything give back to the society, to the community. You have nothing. It's okay, you are free. You have money, but because the superior give you back for your taxi, you can eat, because it's $3, okay, $3. But if you own yourself, maybe you have only $20, you just only took $20. But you can ask the superior for $3. No? So you lose and you gain at the same time. It's like my interpretation. What do we break or violate out in a matter which entails the seventh commandment? The break or violate it when, without permission, we take for ourselves anything that belongs to the house. When, without permission, we retain something in order to appropriate it. And when, without authorization, we sell or exchange something that belongs to the community. When we make use of any objects for some other purpose than that intended by the superior. When we give to or accept from any another anything whatsoever without permission. When by the act of negligence we destroy or damage something. When in going from one house to another we take something with us without permission. In a situation where the vow is broken, the religious is bound to restitution to the community. You will take a chair to another community, you have to take back the chair, you cannot take everything. The virtue of poverty, that's a vow, it's now virtue. This is an evangelical virtue which impels the heart to detach itself from temporal things. The religious, in virtue of this profession, is strictly obliged to it. When do we sin against the virtue of poverty? When we decide something contrary to this virtue, when we become attached to something, and when we make use of superfluous things. How many degrees of poverty are there, and what are they? There are in practice 4 degrees of poverty for one who is professed religious, to dispose of nothing without consent to superiors, to avoid superfluities and be content with necessities. To readily content oneself with things of inferior quality in what concerns oneself, clothing, nourishment, etc. And to experience this contentment in theory, to rejoice in extreme poverty when you have poor quality of food or your bed is not the best, you can't sleep very well, the room has not too much furniture, you have to feel joyful, not to look at the other room, they share this and that and you don't have, and your heart is fighting, want to fight, and you know, you're watching everywhere to compare, or a dress is a better material than your dress. So many times they use the old clothing, no? Also, maybe yours more broken things, and she's much better. Although, of course, the superior is that the best usually. And something. Why are you superior to this? And I got the poor one. It can happen. It's a test. Test of our poverty. The vow of chastity. To what does this vow oblige us? To renounce marriage and to avoid everything that's forbidden by the sixth and ninth commandment. Is a fault against virtue a violation of this vow? Every fault against a virtue is at the same time a violation of the vow, because here there is no difference, as in the case of poverty and obedience, between vows and virtue. Is every bad thought a sin? No. Every bad thought is not a sin. It becomes so only when the acquiescences of the will and consent are joined to consideration of the mind. She mentioned just the bad thought. Just come in. Some bad thoughts. Thinking some images not pure. Just come in. Not necessarily a sin. Unless you know it, and then you open your eye and stay and investigate. And stay, and then you become a sin. You know, many times you just come in, prop in so many things, or some bad words come in, no? It happens many times. Or when you go in the street, you watch many times, so all the memory comes in, the chip's there. You got a better chip than the iPhone. You have a better one. Doesn't matter. This is not poverty. Is every bad thought a sin? No. Every bad thought is not a sin. It becomes so only when the acquiescences of the will and consent are joined to the consideration of the mind. Is there anything over and above sins against chastity which is detrimental to the virtue? Lack of custody of the senses, of the imagination, of the feelings, familiarity and sentimental friendship are detrimental to the virtue. So that's why even when I was our seminary in Hong Kong years ago, one of the rules is, the Latin word is Nunc quam duo sempre tres, never two, always three. Because two, you can develop a particular friendship, boys with boys, easily. So he understands me, and then being close, and there's attachment. So you have no more attached to the Lord. What are the means by which this virtue may be preserved? To conquer interior temptation with the thoughts of the presence of God, and moreover to fight without fear, and for exterior temptation to avoid occasions. There are in all seven principal means to guard the senses, to avoid occasions, to avoid idleness, to remove temptations promptly, to remove oneself from all, and express a particular friendship, the spirit of mortification, and to reveal all these temptations to one's confessor. So make a good confession, like of this particular friendship. Oh, I don't know, it's, I say for assembly, also for you. Women with women also easily enter up those kind of in-depth friendship that's against chastity. Because your attachment, we are called to the Lord and to the gospel. We serve only the Lord. Besides this, there are also five means of preserving the virtue: humility, spirit of prayer, modesty of the eyes, fidelity to the rule, and sincere devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's helpful. Keep Mary, your your protector. The first also humility. The vow of obedience. The vow of obedience is superior to the first two. It is to tell the truth, a holocaust, and it's more necessary because it forms and animates the monastic body. To what does the vow of obedience of righteous? But our vow of obedience, the religious promises to God to be obedient to his legitimate superiors in everything that they will ordain in virtue of the rule. The vow of obedience makes the religious dependent on his superior in virtue of these rules for his whole life in all his affairs. More than a married couple. Even married couple, you have to independency. But the religious life always to ask for me permission. Can you go there? Can you buy this? May I talk with that person? Whatever you want to. You want to study? A married couple, I want to study this and this free. Of course, even you ask a superior, they will give you permission. Of course, they are not trying to stop you. But still, humanly speaking, no? You want to be more independent. And obedience makes you not that. So only makes you, if you don't have this virtue, yes, you keep yourself in a cell, in a prison. But with love for God, it's another thing. It's a virtue, it's a vow that you want to just free yourself from all the things, all earthly things, only you're free. Just go to the chapel, nothing else. You don't worry about the bread of tomorrow. The spirit, think about it. You just pray wholeheartedly. But you come to church and then you think, well, I haven't brought the bread yet. I have to rush out to buy bread. You see? The spirit will think about it and he'll bring you bread. You know, always, no, a life is never too sharp ends. The vow of obedience makes the religious dependent on his superior in virtue of these rules for his whole life and all his affairs. A religious committed grave sin against the vow every time he disobeys an order given in virtue of obedience of these rules. That's why you don't want to become a sister? No. It's not God's calling. When God calls you, you have always the gift. You have the joy. It's not bad. Because I'm explaining something hard. It's okay. It's okay. Compared to every state of life is a cross. If you are invited to live in this way of life, you have the strength to carry a cross. So the sister, they are happy, not because they are happy in a certain sense. Humanly speaking, they are not very happy because she want to go out, and the superior say no, or for no reason. But it's so nice for sinner, she listen only to Jesus. Even the superior say, go out there, Calvary, you know, to have a day off. And Jesus say no. If a sinner says no, but of course you have to say yes, because the superior say, when the morning ready to go, rainstorm comes. You see, Jesus already foretold, you are not going to Calvary. Calvary, the place, not the place of the cross. It's Calvary. You see it last time, no? The meditation. Very, very beautiful. Jesus said no. And then Jesus said, start your retreat. How come the superior haven't started? I say yes. Jesus said yes. But superior not yet. Sometimes she have to fight between two superiors, Jesus and the superior on earth. And finally, she got the permission to do the retreat without the spiritual director, with the permission of the superior. But it came late. The superior is from other place. She called. And then the superior already said yes that night. But the sister forgot to inform Sister Faustina. So the early morning, Jesus said, start your retreat. Jesus said, start your retreat. And Faustina said, not yet. The superior hasn't given me the permission. Jesus, start. And then the sister came. Sister, sorry, sorry. The superior gave you permission, you see. You remember this episode? It's interesting, huh? It's a kind of, it's a game with the Lord. It's interesting. It helped make us very joyful to follow Jesus. Jesus first. Seek first with Jesus. So we are so happy to have Jesus also today in a special way. Still, we have the benediction, no? So first we say the